Glory to God. How many of us are able to pray today some? You able to pray some today? Okay. It's important. It's important. I'm saying for emphasis, please don't just stay away from food. Okay? And not pray. The major emphasis of this period of prayer and fast is not staying away from food. Okay? The scriptural principle behind fasting is that you're not taking physical food for a period of time so you can devote yourself to spiritual activity. So, it's not that you're just doing without eating. It's that there's something else you're eating. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds. So, and the truth of the matter is that something always proceeds. Because the words that we're reading in the scriptures, they are spirit and they are life. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. So, your Bible should be open as you pray, as you study. Why should your Bible be open? When I say Bible, now I'm not saying that it must be a physical Bible. I'm just means the Word of God must be open because God, they are breathed, God-breathed words. So, you find the voice of God behind the words that you're reading, which is God addressing a particular area of your life because the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. So, don't wait for what some people do, wait for a sudden revelation. No, no, no. As you're studying, as you're reading, some words will be quickened to you that will seem to address a particular area of your life. So, when you combine studying the Word and praying in spirit, you make much progress when it comes to God's plans and purposes. So, again, we come together to pray in the evenings. During the day, you are expected to spend some time praying. The idea of 12 days is so that each day should address a particular month of the coming year. You are putting things in place. You are setting things in order. You are praying by the Spirit of God, the plans that the Father has for you for the coming year. You are not an orphan. You are not fatherless. You have a Father who has said he will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say what? The Lord is my helper. But more often than not, that help is found as he leads you in the things that he has planned and prepared for you to do. So as you pray out the will of God by the help of his Spirit, what you're doing is you're securing help for every waking moment. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, we started looking yesterday at what it means to reign in life. Ephesians chapter 1. And we emphasized yesterday that the blessing that we have, what we call our inheritance, is primarily spiritual. Okay, it's primarily spiritual. Ephesians chapter 1, I read from verse 16. This is not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice that the prayer for the church starts after the declaration of the inheritance. So the prayer is that your eyes should be open to see the inheritance. But before the prayer, the inheritance was first declared. In verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual world blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And yesterday we said the word places is italicized. So in the heavenlies, that means in the unseen realm where things really matter. Behind this physical world, the realm where things, the realm that controls things, that's the heavenly realm. It says God has blessed you with all spiritual blessing. You can look at that phrase as this: God has promoted you and given you a status that is beyond every other status. Such that the status you have now in the realm of the spirit accords you the right to exercise authority and dominion. That's what he's saying. To say God has blessed you with all spiritual blessing. You know, some people have said this, let us convert the spiritual blessing to physical. You can't convert. The reason is because you are in Christ Jesus. That is not common to all, it is only common to some. Hallelujah. It's only common to some. Now, because we tend to estimate physical things above spiritual things, we do understand that the sacrifice of Jesus was primarily to give us a say in the realm of the spirit. What was man's problem? Man never had a say. Man didn't have control. Man was under control instead. Man was meant to rule, but man was being ruled instead. So when Jesus came, he came to change the game. That's very important for us to understand. Because if you don't understand that, you won't know why the emphasis on spiritual blessing is important. It's because as far as God is concerned, that's the most important thing that God can do for you. Material things are good. Financial blessings are good. And God helps us with those things also. But there is no point having those things and not having a say in the things of the Spirit. So to be blessed with all spiritual blessing, I wonder what, another way to translate the word blessing, God has spoken well of you with every single word that can be used to describe your standing, your status, your inheritance in Christ. Blessed be the God, or to be well spoken of, is the one who has spoken well of us with all supernatural speakings in Christ Jesus. Paul opened Ephesians 3 by first stating what is that inheritance. So, if you're reading this on the casual surface, rather, you may not really know the gravity of what it's trying to communicate. Remember yesterday we saw in Ephesians 3 where Paul told us that when you read the epistles, you will understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, he says, in other ages, that revelation was not made known as it is now revealed. So, you and I are privileged to have not just revelation made known. We establish, why wasn't it made known? Because the Spirit was not yet given. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit being given is that difference between the old and the new. So, there are things we have. There are things we're looking into. There are things we're enjoying. There are things we're walking in. The Bible says the prophets desired to look into those things and to understand them. Put your hand in this Ephesians 1 and go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Because we want to x-ray in detail. 1 Peter 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied what? The grace that she wants. Every time you see the word grace, it's talking about a bountiful gift. That which is given without qualification. So he says the prophets have searched diligently even as they prophesied. So imagine you declaring this will happen. Remember those who are called prophets here, some of them are also fathers of the faith. So imagine David, who has all the wealth, and David is searching diligently. And we'll see one of the things that David said soon. David is searching diligently because he seems to have an idea of the gravity of what he's saying. So he says the prophet sat diligently when they prophesied of the grace of the supernatural blessing, the bountiful gift of God that is coming to you. Think about that. They searched. What were they searching for? See what it says. Next verse. Unto whom it was revealed. Why did they stop the search? It was revealed that which they spoke of was not for them. It wasn't for their dispensation. Remember Paul said, which in other ages was not made known, as it is now revealed. So there were things that were kept secret. They had a time code or a time frame for manifestation. The prophets could speak it out because they needed to speak it out, but they couldn't enjoy or experience it because it wasn't within their time frame. Hallelujah. Now again, one of the things that a believer should stand upon when it comes to enjoying God is that everything that you have now that belongs to you in Christ was spoken of before it happened, and that it was spoken of before it happened shows you how strong the integrity of God was. Imagine a being who describes this and this and this one, and it has happened like that, and you think that anything he has ever said to you will ever fail. Think about it. He spoke thousands of years before it took place. He came, became a man, acted out the script of what he said to the point of dying. Do you know that you can look at the death of Jesus in two ways? You can look at it as a risk, or you can look at it as the consistency of a consistent God who knows that what he has said, if he doesn't believe his own word, why should we believe it? He became a man. Philippians said that he became obedient even to the death of the cross. That's the worst death reserved for any human under the law. That means The death on the cross is worse than being stoned. That's what it means. Because there are some offenses. If they arrest you for it, you just be stoned to death. Some they'll cut off your head. But the death of the cross is to put you to an open shame. It's reserved for only the vilest sinners. So imagine the one who spoke forth becoming a man to fulfill everything he has said to the minutest detail. He became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. That's what it means. So if God has spoken in advance, that speaking in advance and being fulfilled at a certain time frame in eternity should let you see how strong the integrity of God is. It's so that you and I can have a strong consolation no matter what. So when you say, I'm standing on the word of God, you are not taking a risk. You are standing on something that's already settled, done and dusted. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Now pay attention to what I'm about to say, because it's important. The Old Testament says, stood on God's word and they got results. Listen carefully. You are not just to stand on God's word. You have the nature that agrees with the word of God. Shall I say that again? Men who were spiritually dead, they received the word of God and did wonders. You that you are spiritually alive. I mean, your nature is already alive, which is the greatest miracle you can receive on the earth, has taken place within you. Every other miracle, every other need, every other prayer is inferior to what you have received already. So the prophet said diligently, unto him was read and not unto themselves, but unto us did minister these things. Those things which are now reported unto you. What does it mean reported? By word of mouth, by epistles that were written. Those things are now being reported to you. How are they reported? It says, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with what? The Holy Ghost sent them from where? From heaven. Which things the angels do what? Desire to look into. Hallelujah. Next verse. No, verse 11. You skip the verse. So, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did what signify? Now we're looking at the series not long ago, and I told us the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, this is King James rendering, is not accurate because the Spirit of Christ was not in them. So you need to understand what is this saying. If a man has the Spirit of Christ in him, he's a new creation. The prophets did not have the Spirit of Christ in them. Remember, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Yes, sir? So the Spirit of time was in what? That's the issue. Where did it start from? Of which salvation the prophets diligently searched and inquired. They prophesied of the grace of the manifestation of salvation, which you have now received, you are beneficiary of it. It now says, searching the time frame. And the Spirit of God which was in them, where was that Spirit of Christ? That Spirit of God was not in them, is referring to what they said. The testimony of Christ was in what was said. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter, I told you that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit, but it never caused the Spirit of Christ. Look at Romans 8:9, so you see what I'm saying. Romans 8:9, because those are the only two places where you see the Spirit of Christ written. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh. Where are you? Where are you? If so be. So, if you looking at the basic tools of Bible interpretation, the word if is the same word as since. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God does what? Dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is what? Is none of his. Look at next verse. And if Christ, or since Christ, is Christ in you? Is Christ in you? Since Christ is in you, the body is there because of the body. The Spirit is what? Alive. Because of righteousness. Hallelujah. So the things which the prophets diligently did prophesied when they spoke of the grace. Say, I am in grace. I have received grace. Abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness. I'm meant to reign in life by Christ Jesus. Now again, that is your constitution. That is a provision made. There's a learning, there's a revelation that produces exercise of that authority. Let me say it again. There's a learning of that revelation that produces exercise of the authority. Now, you don't exercise the authority fully until you are fully persuaded. That's the prayer of Paul. Paul says, remember, God has spoken well of you with all spiritual speakings that are available. So let me put this way. Is there any other title, status, honor, privilege that should can be accorded to a man that God has not accorded to the believer? None. That's what the word all means. That's serious. Hallelujah. You see, you need to understand why Satan quickly comes to believers when you lack knowledge with condemnation. I said something yesterday, and if you're not careful how you hear, you will think, okay, maybe they're encouraging you. No, you cannot be a sound Christian and enjoy sin. If you're enjoying sin, something is seriously wrong. We ought to fast and pray for you. Appoint 7 elders for 7 days, light 7 candles. To free you from your foolishness. How can we, who are dead to sin, continue any longer there? Think about it. How can we? You know what how can we means? Is it our nature is no longer compatible? How can we? You know, so that statement as in Romans chapter 6. How can as in, don't you find it strange? 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have what? An advocate. What's the first instruction? If any man sin, or that you sin not? That you sin not. So this to sin not is the norm. That's what he's saying here. But if you miss it, we have. Can you see the difference? You need to see the difference. That you sin not is the believer's norm. But if any man, so but is an exception. If any man sin, we have. This has also been what? Taken care of. That's what he's saying. So, to be blessed with all spiritual blessing means that all the position, all the honor that a man can have, you've been accorded it already in Christ Jesus. Then he begins to describe, please go back to that Ephesians 1. Because Ephesians 1:16-21 will not make sense. That prayer will make sense if you don't know the things that Paul has said before. Verse 3 again. So, verse 4. What does it mean by our spiritual blessing? It begins to remember that is, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Choosing you in him is not the same thing as, you know, when people say, have you heard about predestination? Okay. That God predestined that I should be saved. Okay, but Musibao was not predestined to be saved. That's man's interpretation of scripture. There's no such thing. The word predestination simply means that God decided if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. That's predestination. So the predestination is not individual, it is in a person. Christ is your predestination. Say amen. That if you accept Christ, this will happen to you irrespective of where you're coming from. That's what it means. Irrespective of where you're coming from, this will happen and take place because you are in Christ. So Christ becomes the reference point for a believer, not the believer's personal lifestyle, history, or actions. That's what it means. So it says, having predestinated, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. So notice, you are holy and without blame before him because you are in him. Let me say it again. You are holy and without blame before him because you are where? You were chosen in him. So in him is the emphasis. What does it mean to be blessed with all spiritual blessing? You were chosen in him. So therefore, in him you are holy and without blame. Look at the next verse. To the praise that is to be without blame is to the praise of the glory of his grace, or the measure of the grace of God that made salvation possible for you, is what is calling praise there. Is it to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us what? Accepted in the beloved. You have been signed, sealed, and approved. That's what he's saying. Look at next verse quickly because of our time. In whom, that is in Christ, we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, pay attention, because the language of the epistle, when he mentions forgiveness of sins, is not a pardon. Forgiveness of sins is a compound word that is synonymous with salvation. When you think about forgiveness on human level, what you think about is that somebody forgave me what I did wrong. That's not what he's talking about. If that's what he's talking about, he won't use the word riches of grace. Which in a way simply means that exceeding great kindness that made this a reality for you. When the Bible speaks about forgiveness of sins for a believer, it's talking much more than a pardon. Hallelujah. It's talking much more than a pardon. Listen, people under the Old Testament were pardoned. I've said it, I will say it again. They were pardoned. They didn't have forgiveness of sins. You need to understand. Forgiveness of sins is a reference to the nature you have now received in Christ. That means that nature that you have, you can never be accused again by any spiritual force. You can't. So when it says forgiveness of sin, notice two words are synonymous. In whom we have what? Redemption. Through what? How was redemption made possible? Through his blood. The what? The forgiveness of sins. Was it when we're looking at this is our God? I explained to us. Whenever you see the Bible speak about his blood, please don't think about red blood cells. It's Bible language. Bible language, when Bible speaks about blood, it's not talking about the blood that physically flew from Jesus' body. When Bible says he offered his blood on the throne, it's not talking about physical blood that flowed from his body. Remember when he was on the cross, he was pierced. And blood, water and blood came out. Okay? And when he rose from the dead, so you can be sure, when he appeared to disciples and told them, touch my fingers, feel my side. Flesh and bone does not have this kind of body. There was no blood in him. Because in the resurrected body, blood doesn't cause it to function. It is spirit that causes it to function. Have I said too much? We've covered this ground before. So when the Bible talks through his blood, he's not talking about it. Listen, that which is corruptible does not inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So in Jesus ascending to offer his blood, he couldn't take physical blood, because what is offered there is not physical in nature. It has to be what? Spirit. So when Bible uses the word blood, the word blood is synonymous with life. The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So when Bible says Jesus offered his blood, it means he offered his what? Life. Do you understand now? So when it says we have, in whom we have redemption through his blood, it's the same thing as redemption through his what? His life. So when you hear things like he ever lived to make what? Intercession for us. I've explained that also before. That doesn't mean Jesus is doing like this blood, because Becky, I'm mentioning one by one. No. The word intercession simply means that which was done to atone for this other individual. The price that was paid to ensure this other person has a standing. That's what you call to intercede, to come between, to ensure that which was necessary for this person to have a standing is done. It is his own life that is our intercession. So the presence of Jesus before the throne is a permanent intercession for the saints. Should I say that again? How many of you know the prayer of faith? You know the principle of faith? Are they the same? The prayer of faith, principle of faith, are they the same? They're not the same. Okay, so the prayer of faith cannot work without faith. The principle of faith can work without faith. So is there a prayer of intercession? I'm asking a question. Is there a prayer of intercession? So is it safe to say there's a principle of intercession too? Should I say that? Is it safe to say there's a principle of intercession? Yes, there is a principle. So Jesus, he ever lived to make intercession, talking about principle, not prayer. He's not praying. Who will he pray to? It's God by himself. Hallelujah. So he ever lived to make that by his life before the throne. He's making what? His life is a constant assurance that we have a standing with God forever. Glory to God. Again, remember we're looking at, he has blessed us with all. That means there is nothing that you can add to what Christ has accomplished. Nothing can be added to it. He is that perfect. So verse 4 to 7 is a listing. What are the things he accomplished? What is he talking about? Look at the next verse. So in whom we have, thank you for that verse. You see, wherefore is able also to what? Save them to the. What is he going to use to save them? Is intercession. What is intercession? Is life. In that verse, it says, he lives by the power of an endless life. He wasn't ordained by law of carnal commandments, but by the power of an endless life. That same chapter. Quickly, let me look for it. I want to show you something. So, seeing he ever lived to make what? or his life is an intercession that is permanent. So your status before God can't change. Your standing can't change because his life won't end. Do you understand so far? Okay, see what it says. Have you found it? No man after the love of a carnal commandment. Is not James chapter 7. Let me get it myself. Glory to God. 7:16. Okay, see. Wherefore, no. Okay. Who is made not after the law of what? A carnal commandment. What is he calling carnal commandment? Not the law of Moses. The law of Moses appointed priests that will offer sacrifices, physical sacrifices. But this priest was not appointed by the law of Moses. He was appointed by an oath made by God himself. So the law of Moses appointed priests that offer the physical sacrifice. The oath of God appointed a priest that will offer spiritual sacrifices. Can you see the difference? Hallelujah. Am I speaking too fast? Should I take it over again? Okay. So the law of Moses is called law of Cana. Cana means sense root commandments. You know, if they understood God at all, somebody should have woken up and thought, this cow we're bringing that we're going to kill can't reach God. It doesn't eat cows. The blood that is being spilled can't touch God, his spirit. But they kept offering it. What was the origin of sacrifice? God was trying to tell them, I will come, offer the sacrifice that will pay for all the sins of humanity. Here's the challenge. The sin is not spiritual. The sin is not physical. So the sacrifice can't be physical. The sin is not physical. So the sacrifice can be physical. You offer a physical sacrifice on an altar and expect it to handle something spiritual. It's not possible. Because the sin, you can't touch it. It's spiritual. It's because it's spiritual. It's the reason why Satan was using it to oppress men. Because Satan also is a spirit. Hallelujah. That's so important to understand. So he says, when it comes to Christ, when he was appointed a priest, what is the difference between him and all the other priests? He says, his own priesthood didn't come about by the law of a carnal commandment. He didn't come by the law of Moses. He came by an oath. And he says, his own life is powered by an endless life. Are you with me so far? You see what I mean? So because if you don't understand what he's explaining, you won't understand the duration of the sacrifice of Jesus or the quality of the sacrifice of Jesus. The quality of that sacrifice and the duration is the reason why the epistles were written. So everything you read in the epistles is backed by the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Should I take that again? Do you understand? Am I moving too fast? Good stuff. I need you guys to come up. It's important. Amen. So, see what is it? Look at the next verse. We shouldn't find ourselves ill. We should move. So he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Next verse, quickly. So there's a disannulling or a casting off of the previous commandment because it was weak. It didn't produce any profit. It didn't accomplish the goal. But the law did not make anything what? So what did God really want? Perfection. Are you getting now? God wanted what? Perfection. What is perfection? Do it once. Let it stay forever. Do it once. Let it never need to be repeated. That's God's signature. Once and for all. So that when God comes to tell you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you can be dancing around. Because in that statement, it didn't include, I will never leave you nor forsake you as long as you pray. It didn't say that. So if you didn't put condition, don't put condition. Why is he saying it? Because of the nature of the sacrifice. Number one, because of the duration of the sacrifice. So there's nature, that's quality, there's what? Duration. That makes us, we have boasting ground. Hallelujah. We have grounds for boasting. Oh, how I wish you would pray this way. How I wish you would beat your chest in prayer and pray this way. With this understanding. The power of an endless life. Let me explain what, because if you start thinking endless, start thinking in natural human terms, that endless simply means a life that doesn't have any end. How many of you have eternal life? You are not sure. Let's pray for you. How many of you have eternal life? Okay. Do you know the life you have doesn't mean it continues forever? That's you using English interpret. Eternal life is the quality of the life that God has. So when it says endless life, it's talking about the quality of the life. Yes. It's a life that doesn't have termination point. But beyond that is the quality of the life itself. A life that is superb. That only God has. So when God is boasting, permit me to use that phrase, he is speaking to you through the epistles, he is speaking on the basis of the life that was offered and the sacrifice that is in place. So when you are reading it, read it in the first person. He has said, precious, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, that's the problem. We don't say. He just keeps saying. When will you say? He just keeps saying. Why is he saying? He knows what he has done. Why should you say you should agree with what he has done? Hallelujah. It should influence your prayer. Your prayer can be beggarly when you know what he has done. The extent he went. Oh, he went to extremes. He went beyond what natural man can think about that God can go. God went far. Say, God went far from me. You know, that's why that song in church always excites us. The overwhelming, reckless, overwhelming love of God. So, there is no mountain you won't climb up. Isn't it? It is describing how extravagant God's love for you is. It swallows up complaints. When you are tempted to murmur or to grumble, you tell yourself, am I stupid? Somebody went this far. Why are you mumbling? You are taking your focus off how far it went. You are looking at what is happening now. And isn't that part of human weakness? Yes. So, go back to that. Which verse are we in? That's Hebrews 19. Thank you. That's good. See what I'm saying? So for long, but the bringing of a better hope, every time you see the word better hope, is a reference to the sacrifice of Jesus. It produced a better expectation. You know, we're talking about expectation yesterday, which we'll still go back to. It produced something better. It created something to look forward to that was better than what they were looking forward to. So by which, and that expectation makes us what? Draw nigh to God. Next verse. Inasmuch as not without an oath it was made a priest. Next verse, let's read quickly. So those priests were made without an oath, but this one with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yeah. So in this manner, in this dimension, or this is what it took to make Jesus a surety of a more perfect testament. So the honors, there were many priests because death, either by age or by sickness or by accident, did not allow them to complete their office. If the priest that stands to represent you before God is gone, your representation is gone. Do you agree? It's gone. Can you see? This is a faulty covenant. Because once the priest is gone, that's the end of your standing. So, what happened? They will not have to continue by reason of death. Next verse. But this man, hallelujah. Oh, glory. This is our shouting ground. But this man, he continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Because he's unchangeable, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Hallelujah. To make what? Intercession. His life is our intercession. The life is always there. It doesn't change, doesn't move. So he is our intercession. Hallelujah. Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 1. Before we get lost in Hebrews. Hebrews is an exciting book. So, when verse 7. In whom we have one? Redemption. So, through his blood means what? Through his life. Hallelujah. Say, I have redemption to the life of Jesus. So, maybe in this series, if we look at it, you see the word blood, life, and spirit interchanged in the epistles. They mean the same thing. That's one of the reasons why it's wrong for you to think that you are drinking the blood of Jesus. It's not physical blood, it's fine too. It's talking about the life of Jesus. Say amen. Yeah, it's talking about the life of Jesus. The life was offered. Okay, so according to riches of his grace. Next verse. Wherein he has what? Abounded towards us in all. Again, look at the magnitude. See, all the wisdom I will ever need in life, God has abounded towards me in Christ Jesus. All the wisdom I will need in life has been given to me in Christ Jesus are not prudence. That's knowledge of witty insight. That's prudence. Next verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his... What's the mystery of his will? Christ is the mystery of his will. Okay, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Next verse. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together one in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Next verse. In whom also we have obtained. See, we have obtained an inheritance. See, right now, I have an inheritance. Okay, so being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. See, it is his will to love me, to care for me, to nourish me, and to nurture me. That is his will. Next verse. That we should be to the praise of the glory of his, the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. See verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. That's another way for saying you believe the gospel. You believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, what does it mean to have trusted? You accepted Christ. Okay? So it says the gospel is in whom also after that you believed. Now is look at use. I want you to pay attention now. After that you believed, he's not talking about subsequent experience. Let me explain. I'm going to use Martins to explain now. This is Brian Martins of God. How many of you know he's of God? He's of God. In case you didn't know. In whom also, after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you read this in English, here's how it sounds. I believed, God now sealed me. The day I received Christ, after I received Christ, God now sealed me. The believing is the sealing. The believing is what? The sealing. He's describing something. The word seal here means to approve with a stamp. It means to put an approval on something about the quality of that thing without changing your mind. It is the closest thing you can find in natural to it is when you have world-class designers put their logo on a product. Why are they taking a risk? They ensure they're not taking a risk. That means they vet the quality of what they're about to put out before you see a Louis Vuitton logo on a bag or a product. Because if any of those products are defective, it affects the brand's name. You understand? So when it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, it means that God used the Spirit as his mark of approval. That everything you he has said concerning you is what? Is true. Let me put that up. If you understand what it means to have the indwelling of the Spirit, you will know what it means to have forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins doesn't mean you don't sin again. Forgiveness of sins means that by the nature that you have received, your sin will not, there will be no consequence spiritually to your wrongdoing again. That's what it means. It's not the same thing as pardon. Pardon for sins, they had that under the Old Testament. Abraham had pardon. David had pardon. What did they have? They didn't have forgiveness, aphesis, for your sins to be completely remitted, wiped off, such that it never comes to question again. Hallelujah. What is it? What does it call that? You are blessed with all spiritual blessing. So God's spiritual blessing, the riches of his grace, is that a man can stand before him and never have to think of any wrong he has ever done, because in the riches of God's grace, it has been forever taken care of. What's the purpose? So that you can reign. Hallelujah. So you can reign. Listen, one of the things that challenges our exercise of authority to reign is fear of condemnation. Fear of consequence of sin. That's what happens. So, Jesus showed us through his lifestyle on the earth. He never sinned. He exercised authority that was seemingly absolute, even within the 3.5 years that he operated ministry. So, you have experiences where even disciples say things like, when Jesus rebuked the storm, they looked at him. What manner of man is this that even the storm and the sea obey him? Think about that. Why did they say that? Was it common or normal for storm and sea to obey a man? No. What was Jesus walking in? Righteousness. Did he have authority? Yes. So Jesus showed us in the four Gospels How a man can live if there's no condemnation? If there's no condemnation, there's no fear of the devil. If there's no fear of the devil, the power of God can walk freely through a man. Hallelujah. You know, the terrible thing about condemnation is this. Even when you have not sinned, thoughts of unworthiness still assail your mind. I mean, even though I'm talking about, or you have not experienced it before, and you have not been far. Even when you have not done anything wrong, you still have this feeling of inadequacy. I'm not qualified. That is it me? If you're a minister, you want to disagree? I don't just have to stand here. How can I stand before these people? I'm not worthy. And it's not that you have anything in your life. But to completely destroy the hold of condemnation so that your mind can be free to walk in authority is the reason why we have what we have in Christ Jesus. So verse 13 says that it says, thank you, Pastor. So he says, see, even the wind that deceives do what? They obey him. Okay, so I'm going to branch into something now, which maybe we'll finish tomorrow. Look at Genesis 1:26. Reigning in life. See, I reign in life through Christ Jesus. All right. So, and God said, let... 26, sorry. 26. So, and God said, let us... Say, let us. I know you are not God, but... I just got it. Let us make man. So, this verse of scripture is referenced in three places. And I'm also going to use that to show us a spiritual principle, because as you reach each rendering, you see more clarity. So this was written by who? Was written by who? Okay. What did Paul tell us about the mystery of Christ, which was not made known in other ages? So did Moses say it? Did Moses say this? He did. Moses said this. Did he understand it? Mm-mm. Can you see the difference? They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They inquired and searched diligently what manner of time. And the spirits, in what they were saying, told them that those things were not reserved for them. It was reserved for who? For us. Say amen. So, did Moses say this? Yes. Did he understand what he was saying fully? Not necessarily. So look at what Moses said to us, that God said, say that, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and know every creeping thing that what? Creeps upon the earth. Psalm 8, verse 4. Let's look at the second reference. Somebody else referenced this. He's another prophet. His name is David. Psalm 8, verse 4. Look at what David said. Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that thou was visitest him? Next verse. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you crown him with glory and honor. Next verse. You've made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So, Psalm 8, verse 4 to 6, David is speaking. And is also prophesying. Remember, they prophesied of the grace that should what? Come unto us. So between this verse and Genesis 1:26, which one is clearer? This one is clearer. So notice clarity is progressive, isn't it? So David gave us a bit more insight into what does Genesis 1:26 mean? He said a few more things that brought it to light. So let's go now to the epistles where there are no mysteries. There's just plain answers. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:6. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man? Okay? That thou art mindful. So he's quoting what David said, but he's going to go beyond what David said by explaining it. So David said it. Did he explain it? Moses said it. Did he explain it? No. So here's the writer of Hebrews. He's going to say it, but he's going to now explain. He says, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. Next verse. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the work of your hands. Next verse. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. Now look, pay attention now. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we have not yet seen all things one. So when you read it in Genesis 1:26, did it come to pass? No. Pay attention. Did it come to pass? No. So this is what was said, but this is what we are seeing. In that you said you put all things aside. We have not yet seen what all things put on. So it was a prophecy. Was it fulfilled then? No. It wasn't fulfilled. So it says, we don't yet see all things put on thine. Look at next verse. But we see Jesus. Who is prophecy about? It's about Jesus. Let's make man in our image, our likeness. The question is this: who is God's image and likeness? Who is God's image and likeness? So the prophecy is about Jesus. That's why David was inquiring. Is a prophecy of inquiry. What is man? And the Son of Man that you visit him. And then if you come to the Epistles, Gospels, and you see what Son of Man, who was called Son of Man in the Gospels? Or who called the Son of Man in the Gospels? Jesus. Shall I take it in? Do you understand what I just said? Shall I take it in? Do you understand so far? So he said, we don't yet see anything put on that. That means it was a prophecy that was yet to be fulfilled. So if you continue from that, Hebrews 2, it now tells you the process of the fulfillment. That it was about Jesus, and it was meant to be fulfilled through Jesus, because Jesus is the image and likeness of who? Of God. Okay, look at Colossians 1, so you see what I'm saying. Colossians 1, let's read from verse 15. Colossians 1 from verse 15. Glory to God. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of what? Every creature. Who is that image? Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So the prophecy is about Jesus. That's so important. That was what the prophecy was about. We don't yet see all things put on him, but we see Jesus. We now see that you made him. Go back to the Hebrews. What verse are we now? But we see Jesus was made a little more than the angels. For the what? So what does it mean to be lower than angels? To be able to experience death. To be lower than angels doesn't mean to be inferior to angels. He's simply telling you, you know that angels don't die. Do you understand? Angels don't die. So lower than angels is not inferior to angels. Lower than angels simply means to able to experience death. If I don't see what it says. It says, for the suffering of death. That's what is referred to as lower than angels. Jesus can't be lower than angels. He's Lord of the angels. Hallelujah. Even man is higher than angels. So, for the suffering of death is now crowned with what? Glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, she what? Taste death for every man. And that's important. Through the grace of God, or through the goodness of God, the bountiful gift of God, God gave Jesus up to experience death for us. So the death were meant to die. Who died it? It sounds funny. Who died it? that English just got to my dad. I don't want them to corrupt me in Nigeria. Because the kind of things I've heard these days, I don't understand. Have you not heard all kind of English before? I mean, somebody was shouting, I'm dying, I'm dying. Somebody said, they bagged into his room and said, wait, what's my husband? He said, you say you are dying. He said, is it you're dying? I don't understand. Nigerian English is wonderful. Before you know what's happening, you are speaking the English there. This is that he, by the grace of God, should taste what? Dead for every man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So go back to Ephesians now. So we'll come back to this place tomorrow. We can't explore it too much today because I need to go over the details one by one. So you were sealed by the Spirit, and that Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When you go to buy a land, you are required to drop a token to show interest, isn't it? So one of the closest illustrations you can use for this verse of scripture is this. When you want to pay for a property you're interested in, and they ask you to drop, what do you ask you to drop? Sorry? A down payment. Now here's the issue. When he talks about the earnest of inheritance here, is actually down payment, but it's a bit more than down payment. It's like saying, we have purchased this thing. What we will give you, we show we have fully purchased it. Let me explain now. When he uses the Spirit here, he says, the Spirit is a guarantee of our inheritance. The implication is this. He's saying you use the word pledge, something you drop. But the difference is that the Spirit is like an overpayment. when you were given the spirit, it was a full payment. That when he's coming to collect the possession, no other payment will be made. If you understand what I'm saying, you will need to make another payment, because the spirit is a harness, is a foolproof that this possession is already bought. So what is calling purchased possession is a glorified body. Listen, that's why you can't pray for rapture, because it was part of what you received as salvation. It's not yet manifest. It's not separate. That's why you can't try to make heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. You didn't believe for it separately. You believe for everything once. It comes with the package. Do you understand? You can't say, give me a car that doesn't have seats. Seats come with car. You may go and remove yourself. You can't say, the kind of car I want must not have car seats. I don't have seats. They tell you that. That's why it's a car. People should sit down. They don't stand inside. So you may not want to go and remove, but it came together. You don't say that, I want to buy a car. I would like to also give you this extra to buy seats also. They will look at you. Are you okay? Because it should come with the car. It's not supposed to separate. Do you understand? It says, when you were given the spirit, if you ever doubted that you will be resurrected, the spirit is proof that you will be. Because the spirit is payment for your resurrection. Because through that same spirit, your body will be changed. Hallelujah. I need you to understand what is all spiritual. Nothing is left on God's part to do. That's what he's saying. He's done everything that needs to be done. See, I'm in a good place. I'm blessed already. So, see what this is next. Next verse. So, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto us. So, after I heard, having known that your faith in Lord Jesus means all these things I just listed, I knew I should pray for you. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is what? The hope of his calling. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. Let me use another natural way of understanding. These are all the things you have been redeemed, sanctified. You have wisdom and prudence abounding towards you. You have been accepted and beloved. You have been predestinated unto the adoption of sons. You have been chosen in him to be holy without blame. Every of those things I just said, can we do an individual x-ray of each of those activities? Are you sanctified? Yes. What does it mean? Let's x-ray it. That's what Paul is saying. I'm praying that the eyes of understanding being enlightened, you may know, or you'll have, the word revelation is unveiling. There's something covering. Let's remove the covering. So that you now, it's like x-ray. You know, if you put any item on the x-ray, it shows you what is inside that's not seen. So it says that, what is inside sanctification? Let's take a closer look. What's inside redemption? Let's take a closer look. It says, because what has taken place, to walk in the fullness of it, will require x-ray vision. Hallelujah. You can x-ray that. If you can x-ray the details. So that, because if you just say sanctification, it's just a word. An English word. It means set apart. It means consecrated. That's all it means to you. What exactly does it mean? That's why everything I've tried to explain now, I've taken you beyond the word spoken to what is behind it. Do you see? If you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, it means God has put his personal designer label on you. This product is approved. It will do what it was designed to do anywhere you take it. That's why. So, whose reputation is at risk? Yours or God's reputation? God's reputation. That's serious. That's the kind of investment God placed in us. Hallelujah. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his what? Inheritance. We're x-raying the inheritance. What we receive. We didn't work for it. Somebody has worked for it. Have you seen children of wealthy men, how they behave? How many of you know Paris Hilton? You read about her. You know Paris Hilton? Okay. You may have put her in charge of a manager, but she doesn't need to work for the rest of her life. When you are saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She said, my dad is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he said, because the money that is behind her, when she points at things, it's not pointing, it is what is behind that is pointing. You know, when somebody enters a place and they leave all the other customers, we'll attend to you later. Because what all of you are going to buy combined, she can enter and leave. The kind of people that when they come in, they don't need to carry plastic cards. Her name is enough. So, the richest man in Africa, that when he makes a phone call to any bank, and they know he's the one, he doesn't. It's not this one that banks ain't being collateral. It's only for people from you. It's not for everybody. I'm telling you. Some people, their name is collateral. You know, you are trying to prove to them that you are eligible for the loan. They go and lobby him for loan. Please come and collect loan. With much entreaty and begging. And the ED has to appear. That's if the MD doesn't go through. That is a privilege that you are collecting this money from us. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, inheritance is not something you work for. It's something you are giving, but somebody has worked for it. So, here's what I want you to see before we run up. I'll start praying. Inheritance in Christ means you are giving something God personally worked for. Let it sink tonight. What you are handling, God personally worked for it. It can't be stolen. It can't be taken. It can't diminish in value. It cannot reduce in quality. It is eternal. It is God who worked for it. And he made you his son so that as a father, he can tell you, this is the inheritance. Not only did he work for it, he that worked for it doesn't use it. It is for sons to use. That's why the Bible says that he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us how many things? How many things? The only thing that doesn't work is what our inheritance does not cover. And there's nothing it doesn't cover. There's nothing it doesn't cover. Some have just gotten better at using our inheritance than some. That's the difference. Some have just gotten better at using our inheritance. Because now today, in that inheritance, some men have stood and they have stopped storms. Some men rise up and they speak and wars cease. They're using the same inheritance. Having spoiled principalities and powers. Some, that phrase is in capital letters in some people's hearts. When they haven't spoiled, they see themselves in Christ spoiling. That's what they do. They see themselves in Christ spoiling. And yet all of us are in him. But some have seen him, some have not seen him. Hallelujah. He asked John G. Lake, this tremendous healing miracle ministry that you have, how do you do it? He said, I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I point to what I see there. God lives inside that man. Yeah, I say that every day. So I say, God lives inside that man. Among his peers, what they wrote about him was that seldom had they ever met a man who had a God in man consciousness like John G. Lake had in his generation. Who had a God in man, that was his version, righteousness. God in man consciousness like John G. Lake had. In 5 years' time, he had raised 1,250 preachers. He had established 625 congregations in 5 years. When he left the place in the first 5 years of getting back to, recorded, not the ones that were not recorded, there were many that were not recorded. They had 100,000 cases of permanent healings through him and his healing technicians. One of the most remarkable was one of a young boy who was born with his head like a yacht. How many of you know what a yacht is? Okay, this sailing boat. How many of you know the hull of a yacht is the hull? That's H-U-L-L. It's like this. That's how the boy was born. So medically, they told him that the more the boy grows, the pressure of the skull will be closing in until the boy becomes paralyzed. They brought him to John G. Lake. This time around, there were people around who were critical of that ministry, and they told them, you want to see a miracle? Come around today. He came around. He asked the technicians around him to be praying. At the church, he was pastoring to be praying. As they were praying, he placed his hands upon that young man. Everybody saw the boy's skull melt. And as he placed his hands upon him, those were the hands of Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. And the boy's skull melted and shaped, reshaped entirely. A creative miracle happening before the eyes of men. And the boy was normal. God inside man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As go on, I will show you. Because Psalm 110 is being fulfilled in our days. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your what? Footstool. Well, look at what it means. Because he is waiting for us so that the enemies can become his what? All it takes for them to be, he has done. And he gave it to the body. So the body ought to now respond. That's what we mean by reigning in life in Christ. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet tonight and just pray in the Holy Ghost? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. The rest of the calibrus, the Kenyan, the casting, is your bruised, the brother, Katiana. Pray that your consciousness will awaken to your rights and privileges like never before. That in the days ahead, you will not be found wanting, either in authority or in the exercise of power. You will no longer be afraid. The Bible says there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. That your heart will be filled with a supernatural consciousness of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. You walk in absolute dominion over every work of darkness, exercising mastery over everything that the enemy has won. The Bible says you will take up serpents and scorpions and all power of the enemy and trample upon them, and nothing shall by any means touch you, bat you, brush the bread to your cast, Hallelujah. In James chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible speaks about the confession of one to another, pray one for another that you be healed. The B part says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes one tremendous power of God what? Available. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're not quick to see there's a pattern or a cycle of wrong events that may be taking place. Sometimes there are things like that in individual lives. And that we may need to actively stand against. That's number one. Number two, sometimes you see, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When there's a delay in manifestation of certain things you're believing for, after a while, you can come into the place of deception. Nobody enjoys that which you have believed for being delayed. Hallelujah. And the tremendous power we make available in prayer is to sort out a number of those issues. It doesn't matter what it is you are believing for, a job, a child, marriage, whatever it is, God wants you to have it. Listen, Psalm 84 verse 11, the Lord God is the sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does it withhold. So the question usually I want to answer is this: if God is not withholding, why is it delaying? That means it has to do with somewhere here on the earth. What do? We pray. Let there be a release. We don't want delays. No matter what you believe for, we're going to make God's power available as we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's begin to pray in the name of Jesus. We hasten the manifestation. We refuse to stand against every delay to the expectation of the saints. That which you have believed for, you are believing for. We stand against every delay, every hindrance to the manifestation of that which you have believed for in the name of Jesus. No good thing does it be told from those who walk uprightly. So we stand against in the name of Jesus. Shall you cross die? In the name of Jesus, we stand in the full armor of God. We stand in the light of our victory. We stand in the majesty of Christ. We stand in the might of Jehovah. We triumph and prevail on every side. We win convincingly. We stand our ground. Oh, Buka. Angetioso, o sevracante, elena cash, yesibreke no, lumokane, lumokande, lum. Hallelujah. Say with me tonight, in the name of Jesus, 2020, I have staying power, patience, constancy is at work in me mightily. I stay true. I see amazing results. New beginnings, fresh opportunities. The supernatural is my normal experience. I fully expect to be delivered. I fully expect to be preserved. I fully expect to be promoted. I fully expect to enjoy increase. I fully expect to have abundance. I fully expect all round victory. Glory to God. 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 Let's lift up our hands and just give him thanks. I give him thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Father. 2020, thank you. Thank you, 2020, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We've spoken it, we've said it, we see it, we fully expect victories, we fully expect outstanding miracles, lifting, signs and wonders. We press forward, we press ahead. Thank you, we have staying power. We are consistent, we press in. We are patient all the way through. We don't turn up, we don't change our minds, but we are stand fully persuaded. And miracles are the order of the day. Supernatural is the order of our day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah.